When trying to call customer service at your cable company or order new phone service, you're likely to encounter an array of automated recordings and instructions before talking to a human being. Even then, only about half of customers seeking help over the phone with products and services say they get a satisfactory response. NPR's David Malpas reports on why service is often lousy and what it's like to work in call centers.
When free to talk, customer service workers in call centers can be pretty blunt about what's wrong with their workplaces.
It's a numbers game. Sometimes it's ridiculous and overbearing.
This call center representative agreed to talk on tape if we would not identify him or his employer. We can say he works on the East Coast and is in the telecommunications industry. He says managers are always seeking ways to pick up the pace. Workers are held to strict limits on how many minutes, or sometimes seconds, can go by before picking up the next call. Required documentation of calls often gets lost in the shuffle, he says.
So you don't have enough time to note the activity that just transpired on that previous call before another call is coming in on top of you. You have to be able to do what they call multitasking. In other words, you have to be able to do 10 things at one time, which is, as you know, impossible.
This phone bank worker says getting callers off the line becomes more of a priority than solving problems.
That really just aggravates the total call center operation because guess what? That customer is going to call back.
And workers like this one must face the ire of callers who've maneuvered their way through a maze of recorded messages before being able to ask a single question.
If you're a call center operator, you are the ones who are jumping on the landmines. You're the first contact with the customer. Not only that, you're sitting in front of a computer all day long, taking call after call. It can be very, very stressful.
What this worker describes is the norm in this industry, according to Cornell University professor Rosemary Batt. She published the results of her study on the subject recently in the Academy of Management Journal. Batt surveyed more than 350 call center managers, and most did not quarrel with the allegation of bad service.
Often I talk to managers and they acknowledge that they have real problems providing good customer service. However, they often say their competitor down the road is doing even worse, so they don't have to worry. There's kind of a race to the bottom.
Batt says some call centers are just one step above a sweatshop, and most resemble assembly line operations. Often the workers are reading scripts back to customers with very little leeway on how to respond to various questions. Batt recalls visiting one operations headquarters that was wired into all its call centers around the country. An executive demonstrated the capabilities of the employee monitoring system by honing in on one particular center thousands of miles away.
I said, well, how well are they doing? And he said, well, they're doing really well. They're answering all their calls in 18 seconds. In fact, they're doing too well because they really only have to answer them in 20 seconds, and so they're overstaffed.
The primary goal of many centers, according to Batt's research, is not to solve a caller's problem, but rather to use the opportunity to make a sales pitch.
For example, you call in with a banking inquiry and they ask you if you want to open an additional type of service. You call in with a question about your telephone service and employees are encouraged to offer you the latest internet data connections or whatever the new package is that is trying to be promoted.
The marketing spiels, Batt says, are just one more stress load for employees, 50% of whom quit within a year on average. Still, call centers are providing a lot of new jobs at a time when layoffs are widespread. It's estimated that employment growth in this industry averages 20% a year. That's not likely to drop, with consumers and businesses requiring more fast access to helplines in a broadening service economy. The pay can be meager, as little as $15,000 a year, but some companies pay as much as $30,000 to seasoned workers. Those companies are part of what the Cornell research refers to as the high-end approach to service.
Good morning, this is Carmen.
Carmen Ramos works for Hewitt Associates, a firm that runs call centers for insurance companies, pharmaceuticals, and other large businesses. Here at their Orlando facility, 700 associates handle 12,000 calls a day. That's quite a moderate pace compared to the industry average.
Okay, I can definitely assist you with that. Is it okay for me to ask you a few questions?
The Hewitt facility is amazingly quiet because the cubicles are spread out. Mary Makig, who has worked at two other call centers prior to joining Hewitt, says there are many differences.
The other places that I've worked small cubicles, very close together, where you can hear behind you everyone else talking. We don't have any sales here. Our training is longer versus a day or two, and then you're on the phones.
Hewitt workers get a minimum of 5 weeks training. Some computer companies give less than half that to their call center workers. Alvin King, another Hewitt employee, has 10 years' experience in call centers. He says the best thing about his Orlando job is that you are allowed as much time with the customer as needed, within reason. And he says nobody feels like a robot.
I enjoy coming to work every morning. There's no feeling of micromanagement, and the culture at Hewitt is very pleasing and warm.
The Cornell study shows that flexibility for employees, training that matches responsibilities, and above-average pay produce excellent service. That in turn produces loyalty among customers and sales growth in the long run. It's a message, though, that has not convinced most call center operations, which continue to focus on short-term cost reduction. One of the latest trends is to send these jobs overseas to places like India, where labor costs are a fraction of what they are in the U.S. English-speaking workers there are being given special training in American accents. David Malpas, NPR News, Orlando.